and a place.
Make sure that whatever you're doing, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. So I want to encourage you and exhort you on today that whatever you're doing on this day, make sure you're doing it as unto the Lord. Make sure you're doing it in such a way that God will get the glory, that lives will be changed just by your very presence, that people will come into your presence one way and they'll leave your presence another way. Be a blessing to somebody on today. Amen. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you. My co-host, Pastor Anthony Simmons, and I welcome you to the Woman to Woman to Man show. Glory, hallelujah. You know, it's just a pleasure to be able to come before you each and every Saturday, and today is no different. We are glad for all of you who listen faithfully, for those of you who tune in. We want to encourage you to continue to spread the word about the Woman to Woman to Man show, and feel free to communicate with us. You can email us at powerintheword1@yahoo.com, or you can come on over to Facebook and connect with me on Facebook. That's Pastor Rebecca Simmons on Facebook. And we also have a page for the Woman to Woman to Man show on Facebook. So you can do a search for Woman to Woman to Man, and you will find our page over there on Facebook. We want you to like our page. And while you're at it, why don't you just go ahead and like the church page, the New Creation Christian Ministries church page over there on Facebook. And then if you're a woman and you're looking for a fellowship and encouragement from and with other women, you can go on over to the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group, which the Lord had me start over a year ago. And there are so many women in there that are encouraging each other and edifying each other. And it is a beautiful place on Facebook. So I encourage you to go and be a part of those pages. And also, we are streaming. We are streaming live. Our church is streaming live on Ustream. And if you want to find us, just type in NCCM Kingdom Church. NCCM Kingdom Church. And you will see NCCM, the Kingdom Church's page over there on Ustream. And you will be blessed. Every Sunday, we're streaming every Sunday at about 11 o'clock, about 11:10 a.m. The service starts at 11. I think we turn on our cameras at about 10 minutes after 11, and we keep them rolling until after the Word of God is preached. Now, there are some commercials, so you won't get the full effect. If you're in New Jersey, come on over to the church. Come on over to the church so that you can get the full effect, so that you can be under the anointing, because there is an anointing that shifts the atmosphere. There is an anointing that destroys every yoke, and that anointing is tangible. If you feel it when you're listening to us on the radio, and I know that you do, and as you feel it as you are listening to our noonday service and watching us on Ustream, you can only imagine how much greater it is in person. My. When you get up under the anointing, there is some yokes that there are some yokes that will be broken. I didn't say might. But there are some yokes that will be broken off of your life as you get up under the anointing of the Most High God. Listen, listen, God is not going to leave you in that tight situation. I sense that some of you are fighting. You know, you are battling. You're having a faith fight. You're fighting just to believe, just to take God at his word. There are so many challenges and attacks coming against your faith, just coming against the fact that you believe God and that you take God at his word. There are so many things coming to try to counteract the word of God in your life. But I'm here to tell you on today that as God has spoken a word over your life, hold on to that word. my God, no matter what you're going through, no matter who's coming against you, no matter what people say about you, no matter how hard it gets, hold on to that word. Hold on for dear life to the word of God. The word of God. God will not change his mind about his word. He tells us that he is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he would repent and change his mind. God knows what he intends for you. What God has for you is for you. God is not changing his mind about what he has said about you, nor is God changing his mind about what he has in store for you. My goodness, my God. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart or mind of man the things that God has in store for him. You don't have a clue as to what God has in store for you. My goodness. You only have a glimpse. God has only given you a glimpse of what he has planned for you. He has not revealed to you the whole plan, because I don't think you can handle it. If you knew how much God wanted to bless you, if you knew how much God wants to use your life, if you knew everything that God has in store for you, you would probably get overwhelmed. It would probably blow your mind. That's why God says it's been revealed by the Spirit. He says, but it has been revealed by the Spirit. God shows us by the Holy Ghost what he has in store for us, but we can only receive to the capacity of our maturity in the Spirit. What God has planned for you, he reveals through his Spirit, but you can only receive that revelation to the capacity of your level of maturity in the Spirit. God is not going to show you everything that he has in store for you, because he knows that you can't handle the total revelation of his plan for your life. He knows you can't handle it, you know, because with that revelation and with that plan comes, of course, warfare. So, you know, a lot of times we say, if I would have known in advance that I had to go through everything that I'm going through today, just to walk with God, just to glorify God in my life, in my work, in my serving him, I don't know if I would have said yes. And exactly, God knows that if you hadn't known what you would have to go through to be God's prayer warrior, if you had known what you would have to go through to be a man of God, to be a woman of God, if you had known the warfare that will come against your life because of the word that's been spoken over your life, would you still say yes? If you knew what was required of you, if you had known in advance what was required of you, would you still have been so gung-ho to run out and do what God had told you to do? Would you have been so so quick to say yes to God? And some of us were not quick in saying yes. Some of us ran from the Lord. Some of us did everything we could not to walk with God to the level that he wanted us to walk with him. Some of us heard God speak about going to a certain church, joining up with a certain ministry, doing ministry, and we did everything we could not to do that. We just ran in the other direction like Jonah. Like Jonah, we ran in the other direction. But now that we're lining up our lives, and I believe that there are a lot of you out there that I'm talking to now that are lining up your lives with word of God, with the will of God, and now that you are saying yes to God for real, you are seeing even more warfare coming against you than you've ever seen before. And you're probably wondering, what in the world is going on? Why now? You know, I've been walking with God for a while, but why am I now encountering so much warfare? And there are a few reasons that you could be encountering so much warfare. One is because ain't nobody mad but the devil. The devil is mad. He does not like the fact that God is getting the glory out of your life. He does not like the fact that you are betraying him. that you have betrayed him and now you're on the side of the Most High God. He does not like the fact that you are committing your life to serving God, that you are getting serious about the things of God. So that's one reason that the warfare intensifies. The devil is mad. He's upset with you. You know, he's like, you know, who does she think she is? Who does he think he is? You know, don't they know, you know, that they belong to me? But the devil is a liar and he is deceived. The devil is a liar and he is deceived. You have already given your life to the Lord. You're already on the side of victory. He has no more dominion in your life. So even these attacks that are coming because he's upset, because he's mad, he's already defeated. And somebody just needs to declare out of your mouth that the devil is already defeated. He's already defeated. Amen. The devil is already defeated. So one is the devil is mad. He's mad. That's why the warfare is intensified in your life. And another reason, too, is because you're walking with God on another dimension now. And when you go into a deeper dimension with God, you have a greater depth of warfare. You know, the warfare increases and intensifies because now you're walking with the Lord. Now you're on the side of the Lord. Now you have committed your life to God. So you're in a deeper realm, okay? You're in a deeper realm with God. Now, you're no longer on the surface of things, but now you have gone into a deeper dimension of the spiritual realm. You're tapping in to the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, what we have to realize is that in the spiritual realm, you have warfare taking place, and that warfare is against the demonic forces and the angelic forces. Revelations talks about the angels and the demons warring against each other, and as the angels and the demons war against each other, the Bible says that the demonic realm, that the devil and his demons did not prevail against Michael and the angels. So you have to always, no matter what, don't be afraid of warfare. Don't be afraid of warfare. Whatever happens and whatever is happening in your life right now, you have to already recognize. You have to recognize that and continue to declare that the battle is already won. You've already won. The Bible, in the end, tells us that the devil cannot prevail, that Satan can't win. Amen. Hallelujah. So Pastor Emily's here, and I'm going to just turn this over to him because I know he's ready to jump in on this. Hallelujah. To God be the glory.
All the glory.
Pastor M, the young mic is not open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You have to hang it up. I just got in the studio and I have to set up the switchboard. So Pastor M is going to just jump right in on this.
Amen. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor, as you were talking, again, I was just jotting down some things. You said, this is the day God has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And then you said, whatever you're doing today, do it as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. That is powerful. What a powerful statement. You know, I just came. I had to work earlier, and it's just amazing how God, we evolve as Christians. There was a time when God started removing the curse words, and he started removing certain behavior, and he started transforming me by the renewing of my mind. I felt, like many of you, uncomfortable during those moments. And even as we see a new season coming upon us, here in the state of New Jersey, it was a blizzard. It was a storm yesterday. It was snowing like crazy. It was raining, hail and sleet and ice. It was slippery. And one day later, today in the state of New Jersey, we have a nice sunny 50-plus degree day. All of the ice and the snow is melting. So many cars are out. That's what took me so long to get to the studio. So many people are out jogging, people walking around with cups of coffee and just enjoying this new season that we're about to go into, springtime. And glory be to God. when we do it as unto the Lord, he begins to just make our seasons more pleasurable. He begins to allow us to go into those seasons that, as Pastor said, he preordained for us to walk in. But he can't show us everything. Honey, you were so right. If he showed us all the warfare, if he showed us all the haters and the enemies, if he showed us all the tears that sometimes would invade our lives, and sometimes the painful moments that we go through, many of us would have backed up a long time ago. I guess I'm speaking to myself, because we heard a preacher last night, and he said, sometimes I wish I didn't have the anointing. I wish I didn't know nothing about the anointing. But that anointing gives you and me grace, and it gives us the ability to do what God has called us to do. So we're going to have a great show today. We want you to start, you know, calling in and thinking about calling in. Find yourself, if you're in your automobile, if you're going throughout your weekend, and you find a quiet place and just press 1 to talk to us today. We're going to open up the phone lines a little later. But, Pastor, as you were talking about it, I thought about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it talks about the different seasons. It says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, the Bible says, a time to mourn and a time to dance. It goes on to say, a time to cast stones away and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Oh, these are some powerful seasons. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Oh, how powerful is that? A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So even as we said, sometimes the warfare is inevitable. You're going to have those peaceful seasons. Oh, glory be to God. There are going to be some seasons. As we look at the Old Testament, David and King Solomon and the children of Israel, there were some seasons that God gave them peace with their enemies. God allowed them to walk in peace. They didn't have to worry about war. They didn't have to worry about opposition. They did not have to worry about things going wrong. And God will allow that to happen to your life. Somebody out there might try to get overwhelmed with what you're going through. The spirit of oppression is a real spirit, that it tries to overwhelm you with problems and flood your mind with what's going wrong in life. But we come on these Saturday afternoons, and we thank God for you tuning in, because our job is to try to exhort you and try to edify and try to build up and allow God to use us just for these couple of hours to speak into your life, to allow God to use us in a capacity, knowing that we're just part of your journey. God ordained for my wife to come up with this broadcast. He placed this in her spirit. It started out woman to woman, because she sure has a heart for the sisterhood. She has a heart for women and young teenage girls and women of all ages. But as we saw more men tuning in sometimes than women, now it's the woman-to-woman, woman-to-man show, and she brought me along as her co-host. And I actually enjoy this time on these Saturdays to kind of co-pilot with her in the name of Jesus. So, honey, I don't know, are you available, or you just want me to flow? Amen. To God be the glory. Because that's how we do it. We kind of back up and let God be God. We really try to allow the Spirit to take control of these couple of hours on these weekends. And we, you know, again, with your busyness, thank you for tuning in. And as my wife said, tell somebody about this broadcast, because we just try, in the times in which we're living in, to show God's glory and show God's goodness. We are first partakers. God, in spite of what we go through, he says all things work together for the good of those who love God and who have been called according to his purpose. And I gave a word on Wednesday that God's way is the best way. And that thing is still in my spirit because, as I said, I was at work today, and sometimes, you know, people have, I wouldn't say a difficult time interacting with me, but sometimes they feel a little uneasy. You know, they'll curse and they'll say, you know, Anthony, I'm sorry, or they'll say something, you know, perverted or vulgar, and they'll say, oh, excuse me. Because there was a time where I felt uncomfortable making people feel uncomfortable. Now I'm quite comfortable being a man of God, being a pastor, trying to represent God in all that I do. So we are going to move forward, and we are going to allow God to get the glory out of these next few moments together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. And that's so powerful what you're talking about, people being uncomfortable with you. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. We were watching Apostle Matthew Tillery and Pastor Dawn over at Tri-Faith Ministries. They celebrated 10 years of being in ministry. To God be the glory for 10 years of them serving faithfully in the vineyard here. And their apostle was preaching on last night, and he preached about the anointing. He preached about the anointing. And, you know, the anointing will shift the atmosphere. You know, we heard that song at the beginning of the broadcast where your worship is shifting the atmosphere, and the anointing will shift the atmosphere. The anointing will make people uncomfortable. It's the anointing that people feel something different when they're around you. It's the conviction that comes from the Holy Ghost when they know, because people know right from wrong.
You know,
people know when they're being extra vulgar or when they're being vulgar. People know when they're not living with integrity. People know when they're not treating you right. And there should be something on the inside of you that disturbs people when they're not walking in integrity and character. Not that you're going to be God over somebody's life.
Not holy as thou.
Because we're not perfect.
We all need work.
we all have something that we're struggling with. I know God continually deals with me. But you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. You know, don't quench the Holy Ghost. But how many of you would agree that sometimes we try to put a blanket on our fire so that we don't make other people uncomfortable?
That's why I put that light under.
Yeah.
That's how Jesus put it.
Yeah.
You're light. You're the light of the earth. And Jesus said, who will put a candlestick out there, light it, and then put a lamp shade on top of the candlestick? It can't illuminate nothing. It can't give light. And he says, if you have a light and you put a bucket or bushel over it, then the light is ineffective. Although the light is shining, although the light has purpose, nobody can see.
Wow.
So others in our families are looking at us, our friends, again, I work with many, over 100, you know, men and women. And on a daily basis, I see a lot of people throughout my day. And sometimes that light is just simply making way for others.
Yeah.
Again, the person that invited me to church almost 20 years ago, guess what, had a light and said, you know, with this light, I'm going to offer you what allowed this light to be given to me. And I began going to church and to preach word, and God began to take me out of my dark area and allow me to see some light. And that's many of people walk the day past, and that's why, you know, you said it so right. God designed all of us, and it's some kind of, we call it conviction. That's kind of a Bible word.
Yeah.
But, you know, guilt, shame, or what they call it, intuition. What's the word the world would use?
In the conjunction,
right.
Conscious.
Right.
Your conscience will beat up on you.
Conscious.
And, you know, your light sometimes is so bright that it hurts other people's eyes. Like, you know, when people are walking in darkness and you come in and you turn on the light, they're like, who turned on the lights? You know, it says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. It says, and it was the light came and shines amongst darkness. But the people loved the darkness so much that they rejected the light. And that's what happens. People.
And he was the light of all men.
He was the light of the world, of all men. And people like sometimes to dwell in darkness.
Wow, I don't know if you're going to talk about that today.
So
that darkness feels good sometimes. But
well, we were there.
Come on. We
were there. I know I was there, and I met you in the dark place. We met in the bar. So
it's dark in the bar.
I was coming to have a good time. I wasn't coming to that bar for nobody to tell me about Jesus. I didn't come to the bar to hear about church. I didn't come to the bar to be convicted of my sins. I mean, my God, the bar was the one place I thought I could go and not have to be convicted, because everybody in the bar was supposed to be like me. But to God be the glory. You said something about the light, though. Let your light so shine, because the light will light the path. Not just for you, but for others.
Wow.
You know, that's just so powerful what you
wow.
said. But not only for others, but for you. I just went to lunch. I just came back from lunch. That's why I was still, I started the show in my car.
Amen.
On my way to the studio. And when I got there, the restaurant was packed. It was
wow.
crowded. So I walked in the door, and right away, the guy turned to me and asked me my name and how many. So I said Simmons, and I said two. So there was a girl standing there. She was like, I'm standing right here, like that. And I was like, the guy looked at her, and I looked at her, and he took her name. And she was like, and I need a booster chair. And I was like, you know, just stand there. So then he turned back to me. He says, I'm sorry, Ms. Simmons, you said two? I said, yes, two. So then the girl says, and how long is the wait? And then he looked at her again, and then he didn't answer her. And he turned back to me. He says, okay, two for Simmons. Then he turned back to the girl and said, 20 minutes. And I'm standing there like, I just walked into the restaurant. I didn't come to start any trouble, but it was my light that drew the man to turn to me right away and take my name, even though that there were people there before me. So, favor, your light shows, it shines on you so people will know where to extend the favor.
Amen.
See, there's a light shining over your head. God shines a light over your head to say, you know what, that's my son, that's my daughter. Show them some faith.
And you know, even as you were talking about that, we like to put a spiritual connotation on things, but there was an old saying that you catch more
bees with sugar,
with honey,
than with vinegar.
I don't know how it goes, but in other words, when you're sweet, when you're nice, instead of being bitter and mean, you get a lot further.
Yeah.
And this woman's countenance, her attitude, her whole negative mindset, that's why the guy was taken aback. Obviously, he didn't want to lose that business.
Nice.
But the way she approached him, even if he made a mistake, excuse me, sir, I was here first.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, excuse me, I was standing here waiting before she walked in. And guess what? She would have got that same attention and that favor, and as you talk about, you know, maybe that light or attention, I don't know. But I understand what you were saying, but as we just said, let your light so shine.
Let it shine.
That what? There's something different about you.
Yes.
That hostess said, there's something different about her. Here's a lady with an attitude, and here's somebody who's giving me mutual kindness or politeness.
And that's just so powerful, because I want to say to you, let me just say this. When the person came that I was having lunch with, and we waited about 15, it was a 20-minute wait, so we waited about 15 minutes to have our seat. So now this girl and her party, of course, now were in front of us. So he called her name first, and I said to the person I was with, we're after them. So as we called the name, she went up to him, and she asked him something, and then he told her no, so she turned around, and she said, I told him, and he didn't even write it down. And then he called Simon. So he called Simmons, right? So he called my name. So me and my purse, my party, we were seated ahead of her and her party because she had told him about a booster seat. But obviously, because of the way she told him, he just did not even make note of the fact that they needed a booster
seat. So they had a baby.
They had a baby. So in other words, what's yours is yours. And what God has for you is for you. And when you're next in line for a miracle, you're next in line for a miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. When it's, when favor has your name on it, favor has your name on it. No matter who, it may have appeared like they were next. It might have appeared like they were in front of you. It may have appeared that they were next in line for a miracle or breakthrough. But when it's your turn, baby, it's your turn. And let me tell you something. That girl, she shot daggers at me though, for a minute. But I sat there, and in my spirit, I said, Satan, I'm not playing with you today. You know, I didn't look at her. I did not change the look on my face. But in my spirit, I said, ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
But that's what I said.
You know, in my spirit, I was like, I don't even have to war with her. I'm shifting the atmosphere.
Oh, that's good.
There's an anointing on my life.
And on their life.
That when I walk in to a place, and you got to hear this, there is an anointing on your life that when you walk into the place, you shift the atmosphere.
Wow.
Now, you, when you walk into a dark place, the anointing on your life should turn on the light.
Jesus.
And then no matter how, and yes, there are demons that will start acting crazy because you walked in. Because this, what's on the inside of you, the God on the inside of you is disturbing their peace or their lack of peace. So they are being disturbed because of what you're carrying on the inside of you. And people will hate you. People who don't carry that same God anointing will hate you because you carry it. But see, that does not mean we retaliate or we act like they act, because Jesus came to bring those of us who were in darkness into the light. So our job is always not to counter bad behavior with bad behavior, but to bring those who are miserable, in bondage, in darkness, out of that and bring them into our light. So I was nice to the girl. I didn't frown at her. I kept a pleasant countenance. But inside, I said, devil, I'm not messing with you. But I gave the girl love, but I did not take time to play with the demons.
Amen. Amen. And Pastor, that's amazing because, you know, it was a breakfast hour.
Yeah.
Obviously, she was going out with her family to have breakfast.
Yeah.
You were going out with who you had breakfast and brunch with. And it could have been a, you know, it turned out not to be so pleasant an evening for her. So, I mean, a morning for her.
Right.
Because even when she sat down, even when they served pancakes, whatever they served, guess what? She vexed her own spirit.
Right.
Because not only did she want a confrontation with him, it looked like she wanted one with you.
Right.
And I don't, you know, I joked about that on Wednesday when I said sometimes we wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Sometimes we wake up in a bad mood. Wake up with an edge. Don't let that be you. I know we don't have those kind of people calling into this show, but some days we have those off days.
Yes.
But you said something so awesome that when we step into the room, we shift the atmosphere. And, you know, that's why, you know, our pastor, as pastors, as God has called us to this before we were in our mother's womb, there are times where we have to go to hospitals.
Yeah.
There are times where we have to go to a family, sometimes when they have lost a loved one even. There are sometimes when people, children, you know, go to jail or get in trouble. As a pastor, there are certain things you have to do that comes with this territory and this mandate on our lives. And you have to be able, as you said, to go to that family, to go sometimes to a hostile environment, to go sometimes to a not favorable situation,
yeah,
and kind of shift that atmosphere.
Yeah.
That's why you know, this is not just selected for pastors. This should be for every Christian.
Yeah.
If you're going to ICU, if you're going to visit someone in hospital, if you have a family that needs prayer and standing in the need of prayer, and everybody feeling that overwhelming helplessness and hopelessness. Something just hit that family. Guess what? God allows Christians, us, to be that agent of change that can shift that atmosphere.
Wow.
And that's why we're called the body of Christ.
Yes, the body.
You know, when I thought about it, even on the way here, I said, when Jesus was crucified, we were celebrating Easter and Resurrection Sunday this month. But, Pastor, when Jesus was crucified, his disciples walked with him. He taught them. He fellowshiped. They witnessed the miracles. They witnessed the dead being raised and the sick being healed. But I thought about the 3 days that he had to lay in the grave.
Wow.
How dark a moment was that for those disciples who had Jesus, who had the Comforter, who was that close many times to death, and because of Jesus, escaped death.
Yes.
Now they're without their Lord and Savior, and they have to believe now his words that he said, on the third day, I'm going to rise with all power in my hand. And they had to believe that when they were seated and sitting up in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
And God did not disappoint them.
Yeah.
So sometimes, as we're talking about biblical principles today, this is when the scripture comes alive, alive in our lives, that God's word will not come back void.
Yes, amen. And, you know, you think about it, that's deep. that's deep.
Word works.
Wait. How dark was it?
Oh, God.
For those 3 days that Jesus was in the tomb, how dark was it for the disciples? Because we know Jesus knew he was getting up. They say he left his spirit and went to the depths of hell. So, and took the keys to...
I shall lay my life down
right,
so I can take it back.
But how dark was it for the disciples, not knowing if what Jesus had said would really come into manifestation in their lives or not? How dark was it for them to have their Lord of Lords and their King of Kings give up the ghost on the cross and be laying in an unmarked tomb for 3 days? I mean, and they went in, they said they were afraid. They went together and they were in that place and they were scared. They had locked the door, it said, because they were in there scared. They were scared for their lives. They felt like maybe they weren't coming to crucify them. You know, come and do away
to our leader.
Yeah, if they did it to Jesus, then my God. So they were scared, and that's what God is asking us today. How are you going to respond to life?
Life, that's good. When we're going through stuff.
When life gets ugly, when it gets dark, when people act crazy, when people want to be confrontational, when people walk away from you, how are you going to respond when it looks like what God said is not going to happen?
Good question.
But how do you respond when you keep looking like you're coming up on empty, even though God told you that he was going to bless you,
Jesus,
that you were going to come out, that you are the top and not the bottom, the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, the lender and not the borrower, but you got bill collectors calling your house. How are you going to respond? And it's one word, faith. You know, we have to respond in faith. And even the old me, that girl down at the restaurant, there was a seat that opened up, and she literally stood in my way, so I could not get to the seat that opened up. She blocked my way because she saw me looking when they called the person's name, and I looked, and she stood and blocked my way and said to the girl, come on and get this seat. And the girl sat there, and I sat next to the girl, but I kept the peace. The Bible tells us to be peacemakers. Now, the old me would have went off.
This show keeps it real.
The old me, I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for change. I thank God that I'm not the person I used to be. I thank God that he's still working on me on a daily basis. I thank God that I haven't arrived. Because once I feel like I have arrived, there's no more need for Jesus in my life.
Right.
But I need Jesus. I need him every hour, every minute, every second.
Yes.
I don't ever want to feel like I have arrived because I need Jesus. And
I'll be confident with the progress that you have made.
I'm confident. I think I'm grateful for what God has done in my life. And I am confident of who he has created me to
right.
be. Yes. I thank God because I know that who I am, like we heard Bishop P.D. Jakes preach yesterday, is evidence.
I'm not by myself.
That God is real and that he's with me and that I'm not in this thing by myself.
His whole word.
The evidence is there. Amen. So I thank God for the work that he's doing in our lives and that I don't have to fight flesh and blood anymore and that the response is lining up. Like I said, I don't have it all together. I was venting on Facebook Wednesday night. And, you know, just really letting people see a little bit of the inside of me and what my heart is. And, you know, sometimes some of the frustrations that I experience, you know, with church people sometimes and being walked away from and being talked about and being misunderstood. You know, I was just venting a little bit. But at the end of the day, weeping may endure for a night.
That's why she got joy right now.
But joy comes in the morning.
People of God.
See, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning because at the end of the day, I had a praise. Amen. Before I laid my head down on my pillow, I had a praise. When I closed out my Facebook, it was a yet will I praise him. When I woke up in the morning, I was praising. Amen. And that's real.
Pastor, that is so powerful, and at the top of the hour, the next hour, we're going to take calls. But, you know, I thought about Elijah. You know, it was 400 false prophets of Baal against this one man. And he said, you call upon your God, and I'll call upon my God, and whichever one sent fire from heaven, that's the God that people should serve. So they cut themselves, they prayed, they fasted, they interceded under the false prophets, and nothing happened. And Elijah got so sarcastic at one point and became cynical and said, maybe your God is asleep. Talk louder. Because we serve a God that never sleeps nor slumber. Hallelujah. Oh, gracia. We serve a God that never sleeps, our glory, or slumbers.
It's talking time.
So I got to ask him. My natural vocabulary could not, what I was feeling, my natural vocabulary had no words for it. But because he never sleeps nor slumber, that shows me that even when I'm sleeping, my God is awake, working on my situation.
Yeah.
But Elijah eventually called fire from heaven, and they got rid of the false prophets because they realized that the God Elijah served is the God that they wanted to serve.
Wow.
And as you was talking, I thought about that there are those moments in life where you get so low.
Yeah.
Because if you keep reading, even after that great move of God and they killed the false prophets, he wanted to die.
Yeah.
Because Jezebel said, okay, since you killed my false prophets, the same thing is going to happen to you by this time tomorrow.
Wow.
And he ran for his life. Just killed 400 powerful men and was afraid of this one woman that gave him a threat. And he ran. And God said, listen, you're weak, you need to sleep and eat.
Yes.
Because that thought is not of me that you want to quit.
Yes, right.
Because that's what you were saying. Sometimes we get frustrated. And we said it when we was preaching on Wednesday night that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness after 40 days of fasting, 40 days of hunger, 40 days of thirsting, and the enemy tried to attack him at one of his lowest moments. And that's how the enemy works.
Yes.
And like you said, I was venting. I had something to say on Facebook. I got some things off my chest. And as pastors, as Christians, there are some things you better go to God about.
Yeah.
That's why he said confess your faults one to another. Because when you hold this stuff in, my wife always speaks in her book about anger and carrying resentment around in your heart and how the cry of a woman's heart, healing the pain of the past, traveling the road to a victorious living. Like if you hold on to that anger,
Oh, glory, that's bondage. If you hold on to that unforgiveness, that is bondage. And if you don't vent, you're going to get bitter.
Yeah.
Many a pastor are walking away. Some people are just saying, forget this. Too many people walking away. Too many people stepping on my heart. But those listening to me and even God speaking to us right now, my grace is sufficient.
My God, my grace is sufficient. You know, it's almost like you were there. You know, Pastor Anthony, everybody that's listening knows that Pastor Anthony does not go on Facebook. Pastor Anthony said, nobody got time for that. So you were not even there, but that was one of my posts about Elijah going into the cave. I love you. I love you.
I had no idea.
Oh, I just so wish we're here. We're here.
This
we're
is not
Wow. Yeah.
I did use that as a metaphor and example.
You had no idea that Elijah went in. I said on Facebook, Elijah went into the cave, and he just said, listen, just let me die. Just let me die. You know, Jezebel was just threatening
Ahab, the traitor.
Ahab. Like Jezebel could really do something to him, you know. And
he could, but God had him protected.
I mean, now, what could she do to him? You know, he killed 400 prophets. Well, Jezebel, you know. So, like you said, whether she could or couldn't, you know, she could have gotten some more people on him. I mean, she was a woman. She was weaker than him. I mean, what was she really going to do to him? I mean, he was tired. What I'm saying is, and Pastor Internet, you know, he's like, well, she could. And I'm
No, because Ahab, who was the king, they had an army. And because that was his wife, she controlled that army to a degree. That's why they took that man's vineyard that time.
Yeah, but...
because, you know, they killed
him. But if he could call on his God, our God, to call fire down from heaven...
What can she
what
do?
Could
you, I was just saying.
Yeah, I mean, literally, the fact is she could. The truth is, she really, I mean... And even if she did, he was such a warrior that why would he get scared at that point, you know? Because of what you said, he was tired, he was frustrated, he was probably heartbroken because he had been betrayed even by Ahab, who tried to set him up. And remember, Ahab tried to get him?
Yeah, Ahab was a man of God.
Yeah. So, you know, you get to that point where you're like, I'm tired of this, you know. But, and then the bottom line is, you go back to what? Praising God.
Wow.
See,
wow.
Because your worship will do what? It shifts
the atmosphere. The joy of the Lord is your...
Because the joy of the Lord is your
strength. Makes you stronger people of God.
So God began, and you said something so important. You said, at the end of the day, you can vent all you want. You can complain. You can, you know, go in the corner and cry somewhere. But you better be taking that thing to God in prayer.
Wow.
You know, you guys
have to get it off your chest.
Get it off your chest.
Do what you can cry. Or...
But you better find yourself talking to God.
The one that makes a difference.
Who can really make a difference.
Amen.
I think we don't...
Say that again. I need to hear that. Because I try to solve things in my own strength. That, Pastor, that's why I was saying... Naturally, in the natural, Jezebel could have threatened Elijah and did something.
Right.
But supernaturally, as you were saying, it overrides my thought, God had him protected.
Yeah.
And it's just like our lives. Sometimes, you know, the boss at work, the people that can quote-unquote fire us or make our life miserable, in the natural, we trust God, who is over our boss, over our circumstance, and over whatever we got to walk through. So supernaturally, you said it earlier. That's why we need faith. Supernaturally, our bills that are overwhelming us, God can make us debt free.
Suddenly.
Debt free.
Suddenly.
The sickness that all these doctors and all the medication, the diagnosis, suddenly our body can be cancer free and pain free.
Suddenly,
Mr. Wright can walk into your life.
Yes.
Mrs. Wright can be the next person that you meet at the toll booth. I don't know.
You my Mr. Wright, baby.
Well, we met in the bar. I wouldn't have scripted that.
Really?
I wouldn't have scripted that in a million years.
Yes.
I remember we were teaching, this is so funny, married couples. We were teaching at a church in Teaneck, one of our first marriage seminars. And one of the people,
we saw the look on their face, Pastor, when they said, what did you guys meet?
Yeah.
And when we sit in the bar, they had this, like, Derek Corner headlight look. Yeah, it was a pastor. And that was like, you guys didn't meet on your knees at a prayer meeting, some kind of Christian function? Because God was radically changing our lives even at that point.
Yeah.
And sometimes people, God, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish what counts.
My God, and it's where you go when the going gets tough. You know, who are you going to call? You know, there's a show, Ghostbusters, and it's like, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. But we know to call on the name of Jesus. We know to call on the Lord. We know that God will answer our prayers because he tells us in the Bible that he will answer our prayers, and he has shown us over and over and over and over again that he is the God who will not fail us. You know, and it's just so powerful. At the end of the day on Wednesday, I was praising God, and it was amazing. What really amazed me was that there were so many people responding to those posts.
Jesus, this is the Facebook.
On Facebook, I have to show it to you. We've been so busy. We've been really, really busy. I mean, the days just have flown by this week. But it was amazing to me that there were so many men and women that identified with what I was saying.
So good, bad, or indifference, how did they respond?
They were like, I'm feeling you.
Oh, amen, amen.
You know, they were like, I'm feeling you, Pastor Rebecca. I'm feeling you. You know, you got to please God because people won't ever be pleased with you.
Jesus.
Not everybody. You can't please everybody.
One mistake.
Yeah.
Hit the road.
You find yourself twisting yourself up into a pretzel.
In one error, though.
Yeah, and no, what amazes me is that people will say they love you one minute and then act like they hate you the next.
But why is that? I mean, you write books and you study this thing and behavior is something that you and I, we love counseling, we love talking to people, we are Christian counselors, and one of the things, we understand the enemy is a deceiver.
Yeah. Ooh.
But Paul was a little raw, even as he wrote, you know, to the church of Corinth. He says, by now you ought to be teachers. In other words, you ought to be mature enough to handle certain things. You know, that's why the spirit of discernment really is key to the believer.
Ooh.
Now, the pastor that's pouring into your life, those that have been loving on you and there for you, even if they make an error, use the spirit of discernment and back up from your emotions, from your feelings, and say, wait a minute, are they really against me or are they for me?
Yeah.
And I always say, love, actions speak louder than words.
You always say.
You know, at New Creation, we got people who are faithful. Every time the doors of the church open, they are there. We got people on this show. They call in faithfully. And to us, that's kind of showing, listen, Pastor Anthony, Pastor Rebecca, we love what you guys stand for, what you do. It's helping me. It's helping others. And I can receive that. But as you said, so many people operate with this spirit of easily now getting offended. There were times... As a new believer, I would meet this. There were deacons in the church that we came out of, and I used to share with my wife, who was my girlfriend back at the time, this guy just doesn't like me. He doesn't speak to me. I said, maybe I spoke and I didn't speak loud enough, and now I got to speak louder and look him in the eye. And even when I did that, he still didn't speak back. And that bothered me because I was a little naive early on, thinking that all Christians are supposed to be loving and caring and nice and understanding. But if you hang around long enough, as you said earlier, we need work, all of us.
Wow.
But it gets to a place in life where you have to understand sometimes charges the people head and not their heart. Don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. There were times early in our, we've been married 17 years this year, early in our relationships, there were many opportunities to walk away from each other.
Ooh.
I mean, really, some serious things happened along the way that said, listen, I'm out of here. But guess what? You saw potential in me, I saw potential in you, and I wasn't going to let one incident or one misunderstanding ruin a future with someone I wanted to be with.
Yeah.
Oh, glory. We can go somewhere. That could be the next whole hour right there.
Yeah.
Get the big picture, people.
Well, we had to calm down.
I'm excited.
Calm down, baby. He's excited. You should see Pastor Emery's
I'm ready
eyes.
To Facebook.
His eyes are really lit up because he lives with me, and I take a lot. You know, I take a lot, and Pastor Emery feels my pain because we are one. But what he was saying was so true. If you really value a relationship, you don't just throw it away because of one mistake. You know, and I just thank God for the people that decide to just that are in my life that have an issue with me, but they don't allow that to annihilate our whole relationship,
thank
you know.
You.
And you know, we have to work out the kinks, you know. And you said, why is that? That people will love you one minute and hate you the next. The reason is, y'all ready for this? I'm getting ready to tell you the reason. The reason that people will love you one minute and hate you the next is because the enemy hates relationship.
Oh, God.
He hates relationship.
Jesus, very
powerful. He hates when relationship, because two are better than one.
That's powerful. And everything in the Bible.
Yes.
We got to come into
agreement.
So the enemy knows the power of agreement. That is so awesome. Because as the two or more, Jesus said, as the touching and agreeing in my name.
Yeah.
He says how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in what? Unity.
Yes.
He says when we are one mind and one heart and one body, then there is power. The word of God is being activated. The word of God is making things happen.
Yes.
That's why as pastors and, you know, you're a prophet, when you get that prophetic word, people have the choice, one of two choices. God speaks to you, prophet. And when you give that word, guess what? They receive it by faith or they reject it by unbelief. And sometimes the prophetic is not current or what's going on in that person's life right now. Sometimes prophetic means it's down the road.
Yeah.
It's something that God is going to do, that he has in mind. And we need to come into agreement, not with the false prophet, but when there's a word from the Lord. We heard that last night. When there's a prophetic word that precedes your prosperity, we got to come into agreement. And the enemy knows when we come into agreement, just like we are doing during these 2 hours, there is power right now, even during this broadcast.
Amen. Amen. That is so powerful. And the prophetic, the Bible says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So our primary prophetic word comes from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. A more excellent prophecy. That's
yeah.
Paul for
this. Exactly. So the most excellent prophecy is Scripture.
Wow.
You know, all Scripture. So when we think about the Word of God being true, that's why somebody's preaching the Word of God, we don't have time to be offended. And then when you are walking in relationship.
Say that again as a preacher. What did you just say?
When somebody's preaching.
Because we're preachers.
When somebody's preaching the word of God, you don't have time to be offended. You know, because the truth shall make you free, but the truth also shall make you hurt. Ouch.
The truth hurts.
You know, we don't want. Sometimes we'd rather people lie to us.
Ooh.
And tickle our ears
than
tell us the truth. I had somebody talking to me earlier about a characteristic that I have that is hard for them to deal with, you know, because of, you know, who they are. And I didn't want to hear it, you know, but at the end of the day, it was said and it had to be filtered later to say, you know what, maybe I can be more gentle, you know, maybe I can be, you know, more considerate, you know, of how this person might respond
right to
how I'm saying what I'm saying.
And we have to consider other
people's feelings.
Right.
No matter how right we are, how I think we are, we could be wrong in our being right.
Wow. Come
you
on
know,
talk to me today.
So some,
now, sometimes, even though
you feel like you're doing things wrong, right.
Justified.
And,
you do. Uh-huh.
And you're talking, you're telling the truth, but the Bible tells us to tell the truth in love. So when you think about love, love doesn't hurt. It's not offensive. It's
Amen.
Not abrasive.
Amen.
It's gentle. It's kind.
It's
caring. It's respectful. So if someone says, you know, the way you're talking to me hurts me, if you love and you want to walk and operate in love, you need to change the way you say what you say.
Wow.
Even though you might not feel like you're wrong or what you're saying is wrong, or maybe you don't feel like you said it the wrong way, but their reality is still their reality.
I want you to keep that thought, and I'm going to stay here for a minute. But this is where perspective comes in. Sometimes when you're passionate about something, sometimes the tone of a person's voice, because they are so adamant and passionate about what they're saying, sometimes the one on the receiving or listening end may hear the tone, even though they agree with what you're saying, the tone that you said it in, or the look that you had on your face. There's a lot to assess when we're communicating. You and I, we teach communication with husbands and wives. You know, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. You know, it's not what you said.
You made me feel real stupid.
Yeah, it's not what you said, but it's how you said it. And automatically, sometimes people, defenses come up. They feel rejected or they feel disrespected even. And sometimes, as you just said, we have to consider one another.
Yeah.
That is so good that you said that. We have to consider one another.
Yeah.
And that's why I spoke about humility on Wednesday, that humility means I have the power, I have the authority, I have the ability, but I choose to let God be God and use whatever he needs to use of me in the way he wants to use it. And speak the truth in love, that don't mean...
I'm just going to say what I got to say, and you can take it any way you want.
Exactly.
I'm just going to tell you.
Exactly. Because I work with someone, and after a while, if everyone has a problem with your personality, sometimes you need to step back and say, well, maybe it is the way I'm talking to the workers or the group or interacting with people.
Yeah.
And everybody has a consensus of, you don't know how to talk to people.
Yeah.
To God be the glory.
And I work with someone like that.
God is trying to tell you something. God is trying to tell you something. If everybody has a problem with you, it's like the Lord is trying to tell you something. But seriously, the devil hates relationships. He hates agreement. God knew. The devil knows. The devil remembers when God confused the language of the people when they decided that they were going to go outside of God and build the tower of Babel. Outside of the will of God. Let's go and build us this tower. And then we can get up there with God. We can be on the same level with God.
And he said they could do it.
And God said that when these people agree and come together on one accord, they could do anything.
Anything.
That they put their mind to.
That's right.
And God said it.
Agreement.
So there's power in agreement. And the devil was there. He knew. I believe the devil still was allowed in heaven at that time. I don't know if that was before Job. I don't know if he had been kicked out of heaven at that time. But the devil was there. He knew what was going on, that their language, the people, if we get on one accord, that one could slay, one could put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. Did you see the multiplication in that? God is a God, not addition. We're waiting for God to add to us. But God wants to multiply something.
Jesus.
He's a God of multiplication.
Yes.
So we do things on a man's level of doing things, but God's ways are so much higher and more powerful than our ways. And when we can agree on anything, especially the word of God, that's why marriages come up under so much attack. That's why pastor-congregant relationships come under so much attack. That's why parent-child relationships come up under attack.
All agreement, family,
because
unity.
Because it's unity.
Yes.
And we the people of God, need to be discerning as to why we feel like
his devices.
Why are we being offended? Why are we being offended? Because it's a spiritual attack. I believe the spirit of offense comes on as a spiritual attack from the enemy. It's not sent from God. So where is it coming from? If you're offended, that's a spiritual attack. It's not coming from God. Where is it coming from? Now, rightfully, someone may have done something to you to have you be offended, but love does not count offense. It keeps no record of offense.
I want to talk about that for a minute. That's good. I want to talk about the two examples that came to my mind as you were speaking about the spirit of offense. As you said, sometimes it's not the person that you think offended you. Number one, when Jesus, John chapter 6, he talks about eating my flesh and drinking my blood.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it said, right before they deserted him, it said many left him and never followed him anymore. And he asked the 12, are you going to leave also?
Yeah.
And they said, where are we going to go? You have the words of God in your mouth. But right, life in your mouth. But right before the multitude deserted him, he said, does this offend you? They got offended. Instead of asking if for clarity, like you said, he's Jesus. He's God incarnate in flesh. He already showed you unconditional love as he walked this earth. And he said, does the fact that I'm giving you truth offend you?
Wow.
And the other time is when he said, a man is not honored in his own home. He could not do many miracles in his own home. He wanted to bless his own town of Galilee.
Wow.
He went back, and it says, don't we know him, his mother Joseph and his mother Mary, his father Joseph? Don't we know his sisters and brothers? And it said they were offended at him.
Wow.
Again, offended because they knew him, and they could not believe. Because they knew him in the natural, how could this man do so many miracles?
Wow.
And I love the wording Jesus used. He said they were offended.
And where did that come from?
That's what you were just talking about. They weren't offended. They would open their spiritual eyes and say, wait a minute, this is the miracle-working man.
Yeah.
And I missed. He was born in this town. He came back to this town to bless us. But it said they was offended because they knew him. They were familiar with him.
Yeah, the spirit of offense jumped up on them, and they didn't shake it off.
We need some calls.
So we're going to take some calls.
We
can talk, right? But we're talking some good stuff today. Amen. I can see y'all over there in the background just praising God. Hallelujah. Because with the entrance of the word comes light. With the entrance of the word comes light, and God wants to turn the light on this subject, amen, of offense, and just letting you know that you have the ability and the power to shift that thing. Somebody say, shift that thing, amen. I think I have to preach that tomorrow, shift that thing. Somebody, you have the power and the ability to shift that thing, amen. Hallelujah. There's an anointing in your very being that you can shift the situation. You can shift the atmosphere in your house. You can shift the atmosphere in your marriage. Listen, if your wife won't change, if your husband won't change, if your kids won't change, you change. Walk in the fullness of the power of the Most High God that's been deposited on the inside of your belly. Amen. If the doctor's report won't change, you change. Walk in the fullness of faith, knowing that if God said it, he surely can bring it to pass. Amen. If the people in the church won't change, you change. Amen. And let God work his will through you.
Yes.
Amen. You have the power. You have the power to shift the atmosphere. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can press 1 if you want to talk with us, if you're already on the phone line, or you can call in 646-652-4832.
Let your voice be heard.
Let your voice be heard on this topic on today. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. I had to change over the years, and I realize God is still changing me. You know, sometimes I think I have all the answers. I'm going to make this admission publicly. Anybody out there feel like me? Sometimes you think you have all the answers. You feel like you got it right, and you know that you are right. But how about this? You can be right, and the other person can be right at the same time.
Ooh.
You could be right, and the other person could be right at the same time.
Somebody doesn't have to be wrong.
Nobody has to be wrong. It could be a win-win
situation.
That's a deep thought. Yeah, think about it, because it's all wrapped up in perspective. You know, my perspective is my perspective. Your perspective is your perspective. Pastor Anthony and I had a disagreement this week. Yeah, and the thing about it is we were both right. Wow.
It can happen, people.
Wow. But we disagreed vehemently. We were, like, vehement about that thing. Like, no, no, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. I know the married couples know what I'm talking about right now. Amen. Or if you haven't ever had a disagreement with anybody. But what does the Bible say? Humble yourself.
Wow, Jesus.
Humble yourself. You know, back up. Shut up. Become prayerful and let the Spirit lead you into all understanding of what's really going on.
That's good. You know, one of the things the Bible really emphasizes, especially the New Testament, is this thing of forgiveness.
Yes.
It says, you know, when you forgive, your Father in heaven will forgive you. And if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven won't forgive you. And, Pastor, sometimes we don't leave room for people to come back and apologize.
Wow.
We don't leave room for repentance. And sometimes, as you said, when we get rid of our relationships prematurely, we walk around with a spirit of offense and try not to communicate effectively. Sometimes you said both people, their perspective, are feeling that they're right. And sometimes they are right. But I remember sitting in a marriage seminar years ago, and they said sometimes it's best to be righteous than to be right.
Wow. Wow.
That means sometimes you got to take the higher road.
Right.
You have to be the bigger person. You have to be the more understanding one. And hopefully God will deal with the one you're trying to stay in right relationship with.
Yeah, yeah, that is so good. Come on, you can call in. We're going to keep talking. 646-652-4832 or press 1 if you want to be on the air. But, yeah, you're so right. Do you want to be right? Especially for the married people. Do you want to be right or do you want to be married? Do you want to be right? Is it more important to you to be right or is it more important for you to be happily married?
Amen.
You know, so sometimes you got to take the wrong and just, you know, deal with it, but go to the Lord and pray for your spouse.
And we're not talking about doormat mindset.
Not being a doormat. No, abuse is no. Abuse is not unacceptable.
You
want to
make that clear.
You know, abuse is unacceptable. If somebody's abusing or misusing you, you deal with that. You deal with that. But if it's a disagreement, you know, for instance, and we see you, caller, we're going to put you on the air. For instance, and we're going to put the call on the air after I say this, God put me upstairs in my office for a long time, for months and months and months, because I had a problem with Pastor Anthony. He had a problem with me, and neither one of us was going to change. We had our personality intact. We both felt like we were right. We were making each other miserable. Neither one of us were willing to change. God said, go upstairs, close the door. I mean, I did it in the flesh. Like, I don't want to deal with him. I don't want to deal with the kids. I don't even want to be married. I mean, the truth of the matter, I didn't even want to be married anymore. And while I was up there, God began dealing with me in the middle of my pain. I mean, that was the most heartbreaking moments, some of the most heartbreaking moments of our marriage. I was really, 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 really hurting. But in there, God healed me. He ministered to me. He talked to me. He held me in his arms. He let me know how much he loved me. And he dealt with my personality issues.
Wow.
He humbled me,
wow,
you know, to the point where I had to deal with me. All I had was me and God, and I began to deal with me, and God began to talk to me. I'm like, God, change him. Lord, change him. Lord, change him. And God was like, no, you change. You change. You change. You can be abrasive. You can be stuck in your ways. You can be selfish. You can be demanding. You can use the wrong tone of voice sometimes. You change. And I had to either submit to that or not. And I chose to submit to that. And it was the best decision I could have made in my life because I did change. And That's why it bothers me now when people I have these problems with people or people have problems with me, because I'm like, God, take care of these people. Lord, change them. And God is still saying to me today, no, you changed them.
Yeah, that's his posture.
I'm like, well, God, how much more do I have to change? God, well, I'm giving and giving and giving. God's like, keep giving.
You pray for patience.
You can't give to the point of shedding your blood.
Wow.
Jesus already shed his blood.
That's good.
You're not giving the arm and the leg. That's a lie. You're not giving blood. So you're just sacrificing yourself and your selfish desires. So you change. So we're going to take some callers on that.
Good.
Amen.
Good. And, Pastor, before you open that caller's, just as one more thought, you said personality issues. You said, you know, there's sometimes we're in survival mode sometimes. I mean, especially before I became a believer, there was a certain demeanor, a certain personality I almost had to develop.
Wow.
I said just to survive.
Wow.
Like you said, we grew up in Newark. Maybe you're not from New Jersey, but if you grew up in Newark, you could not be a wimp.
Yeah.
That neighborhood will eat you alive.
Yeah.
So there's certain characteristics that you had to develop. I grew up with seven brothers and sisters, and guess what? Just fighting under that roof made me able to be ready for the streets. So there's certain characteristics, even if sometimes you're in the marketplace, there's a certain demeanor, like a police officer. Sometimes, you know, I see police officers, and they have this frown on their face. I'm like, does that come with the badge? Did they tell you to take off your smile and put on that cop face?
Wow.
Because guess what? They're authority. There's not time to be playing. Their life is on the line.
Yeah. Wow.
They can be responding to a life or death situation, and it's not time to be relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
When they're on duty, they are law enforcement.
Wow.
So it is time to put on that authority face. And sometimes, because we have developed certain characteristics, God is saying, now I need you to trust me.
Wow.
I need you to trust me even more to deal and handle with what you can't handle. Okay, caller, we want to hear from you. Area code 908. This is good. I'm enjoying
this.
And I pray you are blessed. Oh, that's Brother Mel. Good to hear from you, my brother. What's going on your heart?
Oh, my brother. Let me just say that I came in on 15 minutes of it, and I got to agree with both of y'all because I had a very terrible offensive attitude. And even though I'm little by little gradually trying to get over it, I find myself sometimes still saying things that I shouldn't say, and I try to repent as much as I possibly can because I know that I'm not perfect. Hear me, all callers. I agree with Pastor Anthony about Newark because I grew up in Newark. I came up the oldest out of three boys and one girl, and when I was younger, I was the type of person that you couldn't get a conversation out of because I let people talk over me. And sometimes I find that haunting me later on. I love my wife very dearly, and I try as much as I can to amend things with her and let her know that I don't have a problem with accepting being wrong because I know I'm not perfect. I don't know if I come across as intimidating. I think she's very intelligent. I think she's very arguably gets to the point, but sometimes we allow certain things to get in the way of what's really important. And I try to not so much protect my manhood, but so much try to amend with her and try to repent of my sins. Because I realized that I did have an offensive attitude a while ago, and I'm trying to get over it. I've been trying to get over it.
Amen. That's so powerful. You know, sometimes when we think about abuse, or we think about sometimes being mistreated, we always think about it something being physical or something being to the extreme. But if you live long enough, you'll see that words matter. Mm. You know, a large part of this show was talking about words, the way we say words. And husbands and wives, my wife and I, we tell couples all the time, once it's out, it's hard to take it back.
Yeah.
So we have learned to, over the years, kind of bite our tongue and go somewhere and count to 10 or cool off. One time my wife and I had a big art, and she lived in Bloomfield, I lived in Hillside, and she drove and came back. By the time we started talking about the same topic over again, we both had calmed down to the place where we could make some progress. And sometimes that is the solution, you know,
put that anger. The Bible says, "Be slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen." Mm-hmm. And in the early part of our marriage, my wife used to say I was not a good listener. And believe it or not, I was not a good listener. I had mental chatter going on. I was very prideful and stubborn, and I had anger issues. So I was not a good listener. And I knew she was telling the truth. Now I've tried to become a better listener and a better communicator. And that's what God is doing with you, my brother. He's allowing you to go through what you're going through and then recognizing the areas in your life that you must improve on. If you want to have the kind of marriage that you and your wife are going to prosper, you're going to be successful in so many areas, like you said, you're not going to get a divorce. You're going to be together until death do you part. Obviously, you took your wedding vows seriously, and God is going to allow you to honor that. But he's going to work on Brother Emil. He's not going to work on, you know, your wife. As my wife just said, he'll begin to work on you, and your marriage will begin to change. So let's work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. We all are on a potter's wheel, and we are all being pruned and processed by the living God. So, brother, he's not done with you yet. We thank God for you calling and sharing today. And sometimes, like you said, you make mistakes, but you're more quick now to repent and say, you know, honey, forgive me, or when you mess up. Sometimes, men, that's hard for us. Women don't even understand how hard that is for a man to apologize or to say I'm sorry or to ask for forgiveness. But sometimes our ego, our pride, with men, it's a lot harder. You know?
Could it be,
brother,
that we were conditioned?
God is not done with you. Go ahead, I'm listening.
No, I'm saying, I didn't mean to cut you off, but could it be that we were conditioned to believe that way? Because some men taught their sons, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it wasn't good to cry in front of, even though when they're wrong, because you were considered to look soft if you were crying in front of a woman.
Absolutely. It was two extremes, you know, put women in their place, and number, you know, like you said, men, you know, don't let your lady see you cry, because she'll see that as a sign of weakness. And men are different. You know, a lot of men don't know how to articulate their thoughts nor tap into their emotional side, because we've been taught to not cry. If you play football, basketball, if you fell, if you went through your hard knocks, even losing a fight, you got more respect sometimes just because you fought. It doesn't matter
That's
if you
right.
won or lost.
That's right.
The fact that you was not a punk, you know, sometimes prove a greater victory. So sometimes manhood and masculinity, as we were taught growing up, God redefines that now. We see Jesus, when Peter cut off that person's ear, Jesus said, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. So he said, I'm going to teach you to do things a little differently. So Jesus healed his ear. But Brother Mel, we see with the gangs out here killing one another, we see a lot of men incarcerated. We see a lot of men putting their hands on their women, and things
That's
that
wrong.
Are crazy because, like you said, we were miseducated. Now
That's
shows
right.
like this, we're getting God educated.
No, I agree with you. You're absolutely right. We were miseducated, and we were, you know, and if, again, I'm glad that God redefined things because, again, I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not, you know, I'm not too emotional that I can't repent. And I, you know, again, I love my wife. So I never would ever violate her or disrespect her to make myself feel good.
Amen. Well, we thank you for calling today because, like you said, you identify with what Allah has been said this first hour and a half. We have about another 30 minutes to go, but keep listening. We will continue to pray for you and your wife, and I think you realize that God is not done with you yet. He didn't bring you this far to leave you, but you got one of those testimonies. You thank God that you're not where you used to be.
I'm glad. I'm grateful.
Amen, my brother. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
And we're going to try to leave room for some more callers. Hopefully they'll call
in.
But go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, of course, there's room for other callers. I'm just grateful that I was able to get on this platform and, you know, let people know that it's okay to to acknowledge your faults, your weaknesses, and to identify with them. And that's what this platform is about that y'all have, and I'm grateful for it.
Amen. Amen, my brother. And again, I know your birthday was last week. Happy birthday again, and enjoy this weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mel. And that is so important what you said, that it's important to identify your faults and admit to them. You know, we're not perfect. You know, it's so powerful to be able to say, I'm not perfect. And then you and Pastor Anthony talked about being able to tap in to the emotional side as men.
Very hard for men.
And that's very hard for men to do. And I want to say to the women, thank you so much, Brother Mel, for calling in. God bless you.
But thank you always, Pastor Rebecca.
Amen. Amen. I want to say to the women, if you heard the brother, the men speaking about how hard it is for them to open up and let us see what's on the inside of them and to see their emotional side, which does not necessarily have to be a soft side, just because they are letting us see what's on the inside of them and being vulnerable. Do not take advantage of that vulnerability.
Jesus.
You know, women, you know, when your man opens up, yes, when your man opens up, and let you see, maybe he might let you see him cry. Maybe he might tell you that he's hurting. Maybe he might give you some information about how he felt when his father left or when his mother didn't hug him as a child or why he's so angry, you know, or how he doesn't feel sometimes like he's good enough or man enough or strong enough. When he opens up and he shares with you, don't turn around and use that against him in the argument, or if you guys are having some type of disagreement. Do not throw it back in his face. Do not call him names. You know, the mistake we make sometimes as women, Pastor Anthony, is that we say we want a man, a strong man, but when we get a strong man, we do everything we can to make him weak.
Make him weak. He can't open his mouth. He
yeah.
can't do nothing right.
And then we don't respect him because we have stripped him down from what we said we wanted and what the very thing that we were attracted to. And now we won't let him talk. You know, sometimes women, you know women, how we do. The man starts to talk and we over-talk him. You know, we tell him the truth. Well, let me tell you about you. Let me tell you what I don't like about you. Let me tell you about yourself, Mr. So-and-so. Let me just tell you a thing or two. And we will put our hands on our hips, and we, you know, especially the black sisters, and we will let our head go from side to side. And we would just strip him up and down and sideways. We would turn him every which way but loose. And the man would be sitting there.
Like a little boy.
With his head hanging down like a little boy. You know, and he's, you know, just looking so sad. And we're looking at him, and we see how we're just tearing this man down, but we won't stop. And we keep going. Now, that's like abuse all by itself. But then when he wants to talk, and he says, are you finished? And then we say, yeah, I'm finished. And then he goes, well, let me tell you what I don't like about you. And what do? No, I ain't hearing it. Let me tell you, I am not hearing it. I'm not, because we can't handle the truth.
Wow.
And we will not let that man come and tell us anything about us because we can't handle it. We can tell him everything about him that's wrong, and that's something that we need to fix as women. You know, we need to fix that because we can't be effectively in a relationship unless we allow the communication to be a two-way street, whether you're married or not. And I think maybe a lot of single women, because when I was single, I was a hot mess. But I think a lot of single women are not moving to the next stage in relationships because the man just sees that we're crazy. Like, that girl is crazy. I'm not even going to marry her because if she can treat me this like this and we're just dating, how is she going to treat me if I marry her? So that's just a wake-up call. For us as women to just really allow the man to be a man And let's not strip him of his strength and try to weaken him in that area. So we have a few more minutes.
Come on, let's call in.
Area code 646-652-4832. I'll call in and let your voice be heard. If you're already on the line, press 1 and we'll put you on the air. I want to, while we're waiting, I want to say happy birthday to my girlfriend, and I see you, caller. I want to say happy birthday to one of my girlfriends, and this is truly one of my girlfriends. I love her. She just celebrated a birthday on Monday, and on her birthday, she was blessing me. You know, Kathy Jones, my girlfriend, had a birthday on Monday, and we want to say happy birthday. I want to give you some birthday applause. Say happy birthday, Kathy.
Happy birthday, Kathy.
Happy birthday. You are a blessing. You are a blessing to us. We love you. We celebrate you. And we thank God for you. And like I said, on her birthday, she was being a blessing. And I'll just leave it at that. But we want to say happy birthday to you, Kathy. And we thank God for you and Ray, who's just a great asset to your life and to our lives. And we're just so glad that God sent Ray into your life because he's a part of our lives now. And we love you guys. Amen. So area code 973, you're on the air. God bless you. Sister Tina, let your voice be heard.
God bless you, Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca. Awesome show, awesome show. I wanted to piggyback on something you started from the beginning, actually beginning of the show, when Pastor Anthony was saying, let your light shine. And sometimes if you're around other people as a Christian believer, sometimes you may not let others know how much you are of a Christian because you don't know how they're going to respond. But it's amazing. I find myself, sometimes you're around other Christians that's doing something outside of the what they should do as Christians. And so if you, when you do say something that's a little different, people look at you like, well, you think you're too saved. But sometimes you still have to go that route and still say something or act a certain way. So it's not even around the non-believers that you may get those looks, but also by the believers if you're just doing something outside of what they consider to be too Christian.
Wow.
That's a good point and a good
analysis
that you just interjected into the show today because, you know, when Paul says you're yet carnal, You can be a Christian and carnal. That simply means that you are a believer, but you're still doing some things that you did when you was just in the world. And nothing
right.
has really, you have not been regenerated, transformed, or changed. And as you said, Sister Tina, that's a powerful thought, that sometimes even around believers, when you stand for the things of God,
that's
they
right.
look at you with disbelief. And that's
yes.
a sad commentary. That around Christians, you would think, you know, that you're equally yoked.
Wow.
But as you said, around Christians sometimes, when you try to live holy or try to be righteous
yes.
or try to be godly, sometimes they even, you know, say it doesn't take all of that.
Yes,
so that's a very good thought that you brought to us today.
Yes, that is true. Sometimes they don't think it takes all that or you're, you know, or if you're doing something opposite of what they want to do because you're walking in a different way, they think that you're judging them. No, it's just that I don't walk that way anymore. So I will pray for you, but I don't go that route anymore. I'm not trying to judge, but I will pray for you because if I'm transitioning, the Lord has changed me, there's certain things I will not do anymore. So, and then I'm going to let my voice be heard that I don't do it anymore. And sometimes you may not like that because you'd rather for me to be quiet and don't say anything. But no, I'm going to continue to speak what God has done for me and continue to pray for you. But I'm not going to have to, I shouldn't have to change who I am just because you can't deal with the fact that I'm walking this way and you still want to live this way as a believer.
That's right. That's right. And compromise, and that's the first thing that came to mind when we started talking was that there is immense pressure in today's society the church society as well to conform your faith, to conform your faith, which means you're weakening your faith. You're watering down your faith. Paul talks about that. One of the scriptures, he says, not only do you tolerate the sin of those amongst you, but you take enjoyment in it. You know, so he's not saying, God wants us to get to a point where we no longer enjoy it, but he also wants us to get to the point where we no longer tolerate
it.
Where we don't condone it. You know, we don't condone it. That's what he was saying. You condone it, but not only do you condone it, but you take pleasure in it. You know, and so now you've gotten to the point where you no longer take pleasure in it. But they're saying, okay, Tina, if you're not doing it, that's fine, but don't come around here banging on our parade. We don't need you. You know, so you have to now make some decisions, as we all do in life, as to how much time you will be able to spend with these people who are yet carnal. You know, they call in the name of Christ. Jesus said, you say, Lord, Lord, with your mouth, but your hearts are far from it. You know, because he said in the Bible that if we love him, we will obey his commands, and his commandments are not burdensome. So it gets to a point in our lives where we have spiritual growth, and we get to that point where we can't, certain things just make us sick. You know, it's like, I can't be around it. I don't want to be around you cursing. I don't want to be around you, you know, doing what you do. It used to be okay with me, but now it just bothers my spirit, you know. And, you know, so sometimes it's not even a matter of being around them and having to say something about it, but it gets to the point where it's like the decision is to be made is, do I even want to hang out with them? Because I know, like when I stopped, I used to do cocaine. You know, I used to sniff coke before I got saved. And when I got saved, before I got saved, I stopped doing cocaine. And I made up my mind that I don't want to do cocaine anymore. But every time I went around the person that I used to do coke with, she would have coke on the table. And she knew I didn't do cocaine anymore. So it came to a point as to, well, are you going to try to keep going around there and having to resist it or be offended because she knows you don't do this anymore, but she keeps putting it in front of you and even offering it to you? Or do you just make the decision that you can't hang out with her anymore and not go around? So I chose not to go around anymore. You know, didn't mean I didn't love her, it didn't mean that I didn't want to be, but we could not. How can two walk together unless they agree? We didn't agree any longer. So that's an excellent, excellent point that you brought up today.
Amen. That's a good point too, Pastor Bethan. That is true. Just that, you know, you're right. It doesn't mean that you don't love the person or the people the same. It's just that you're just not walking the same way anymore.
You know what I just saw? I just saw Lot and his wife in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Wow.
Sodom and Gomorrah. They know they had no business. Even if they were not partaking of the sin, they knew they had no business in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Abraham tried to tell them, why would you even go there?
Why are you going there? You pitch your tent there. Watch where you pitch your tent. I preached that a long time ago. You know, we have to be careful where we pitch our tent. He pitched his tent near Sodom and Gomorrah, and the next thing you know, he was living there. You know, we got to be careful. We got to be careful.
That's good. And that's so powerful, Sister Tina. It's good because we know of a young man that got into a lot of trouble because he was in a car with the wrong people. And this young man was a college kid, doing well, a young man with a lot of prosperity and future and you know, success ahead of him. But because he wanted to hang with the boys in the old block, even though he was in church, in college, doing great things, he took the fall because, you know, one of the kids had an element, and it's a long story, but he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And normally we say this to younger people, but even Pastor, as you challenged us today, sometimes we have to abstain and say, listen, I know what's going to be there. I know what y'all are about, you know, because you're going to have to hear my mouth. So I'm not going to even try to get to the place where I'm going to bother you or you're going to bother me.
So when you say so-and-so doesn't show up anymore, are you getting funny or changing? Listen, it is what it is. But I had to make some decisions. And we all got to get there as believers. I like to tell a story. My best friend, many of you know, I was partying up until age 30, and I got saved, and I brought my best, I mean, my running buddy. We did everything together. And I brought him to church, and it was a men's-only service, like 1,000 men in this one church. And he said, well, you know, and that was good. He said, but that's for you. That's not for me. And that was my first year being saved, and I knew then, Pastor, I had to make a decision that I'm going to either keep partying and keep hanging out and keep chasing whatever, or I'm going to start chasing God. And I still love that brother, but I haven't seen my friend in a long time.
Wow. Wow. You know, and that's just, it's just amazing. You know, it gets to the point where sometimes you don't even make a conscious decision, but God makes the decision for you. You know, like we met in a bar. But I think I've been back, I don't even think I went back into that bar one time to tell people, that I got saved. And I haven't been back because the bar element is not conducive to who God has developed me to be, you know, whom I become. He will bring you out. That's what Christians.
He'll bring you out.
We're the called out ones.
That's what Christian means.
You know, we're the called. Yeah, the ecclesia.
Yeah.
We're the called out ones. That means that there are certain places that will vex the spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. You know, imagine like hanging out with people who smoke cigarettes, and I know some Christians still smoke cigarettes, but you don't smoke cigarettes, and they're blowing smoke into your face. That smoke is going to annoy you, you know, and that's what's happening. The smoke is starting to annoy you, you know. Whatever it is that they're doing that is not conducive to who you are today is starting to annoy you. And guess what? Pretty soon it's going to be like, I'm not hanging out over there because, you know, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like smoke. Smelling the smoke. I don't feel like listening to the language. I don't feel like them looking down on me because I decide to take the high road, you know, and that's what will happen. People will look down on you and think you think that you're better than them, and they're Christians too, but they're yet carnal. So when you decide you want to go up, even in the church, there are crabs in the barrel that will try to pull you down.
That is true.
And we
that is true. Yeah. You have people that will say it doesn't take all that. Or, yeah, that's true.
Girl, go ahead and be who God created you to be. You know, that's the thing we were talking about. You are not going to be able to please everybody. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Just go ahead and the only way we can give God glory is by being who God created us to be. You know, even today while we were doing this show, I heard this voice say, you know, you need to tone it down. You know what? You're probably annoying some people. You are up and excited and jumping off the walls and talking loud. You need to be quiet. But, you know, that's nothing but the devil. And I'm not listening to the devil. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Sister Peter, we have a few more minutes, but thank you for that thought. That, again, some people don't want to hear it. You know,
yeah.
Even as a pastor, as a parent, talking to our children sometimes.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, you tell them good decisions versus bad decisions, consequences versus rewards. And sometimes, as my mother used to say, it goes in one ear and out the other. And your head is more than just a hat rack. I heard all of that growing up. But I thank God that I heeded to some of that good advice.
Yes.
And that's simply, you know, sometimes we don't want to hear, Sister Tina, as you just said, sometimes we don't want to hear about our mess, but sometimes we need to hear about it.
That's true. Amen.
And it's biblical. What you're doing is biblical. You could turn the other blind eye, but if they're doing it in front of you and they know you're a Christian, says if your brother's caught up in the fault, you have to confront that brother. You have to confront that sister. We don't do a lot of that. But, you know, if you see somebody doing something, they're Christian, you're Christian, they know they're not supposed to be doing it. Not that you're going to be God in their life or the God squad, but you can go to them and say, you know what? That language sometimes or that attitude, you know, is not conducive to who we are, you know. And I know God's still working with all of us, but, you know, you ever think about toning that down a little bit? You ever think about quitting, smoking? You ever think about not cursing like a sailor? You ever think about, you know, not sleeping around, you know? Do sailors really curse? You know, we're getting tired now. Do sailors really curse?
Your brother is a sailor. He doesn't curse.
Okay. Anyway.
Any more callers?
That's good. Thank you so much. Sister Tina, do sellers really curse?
I don't know.
She never heard that saying?
I don't know.
I never heard that saying. I'll have to think about like sellers. She said sellers.
Sellers cursing like a sailor.
Yeah, the sailors really curse. I believe they do.
Okay, some sailors curse and some don't. Sometimes you feel like a nut, and
you know,
sometimes you don't. Some Christians sin, and some do their best to abstain from the sins of this world. Amen. So we thank God for you. You brought up something. I know that touched somebody right there. To challenge us all to live a little better, to glorify God with our whole lives. Amen. So God bless you, daughter. Thanks so much for calling in today, letting your voice be heard.
God bless you.
God bless.
Amen. Wow. Okay.
Anybody else?
It's been a whirlwind. We have seven more minutes. If you want to talk to us, just press 1 and come on the air and let your voice be heard. I want to thank God for my mother. Mother May Thomas in Florida, who's listening, amen. We thank God for you, Mother May Thomas, amen, being with us. My mother just found a church home in Florida, in Sanford, and I'm just so happy about it. I miss her. But I thank God that she has a place to call home, amen. Area code 404, God bless you, Sister Maria. Mic is open.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony. I'm just calling because I want to give thanks to God for what he has done in my life, for what he's getting ready to do to my life, and for the people he has put in my path that has helped me go through what I'm going through. And I know that I'm not going through it alone, but he has put so many wonderful people, including you, Pastor Rebecca, and Pastor Anthony. He has put you in my path for a reason. And I just want to, you know, it's a beautiful day, and I just want to give thanks to God for everything that I have, and I just want him to bless everyone that's in need and everybody that needs to have faith and just believe, you know. So that's why I'm calling in, just to thank God for that.
Amen, Sister Maria. It's good to hear from you on this weekend, and we thank God for you calling and listening. And it's so powerful what you just said, how God is orchestrating your life. Not only that, putting people in this season in your life. And as you said, it's only God. I don't think they're coincidences in the body of Christ. I believe there are certain people God has ordained to be part of our journey, to bless us in those seasons where we mostly need to be blessed. And as you just said, listening to this broadcast, I think in the state of Georgia, we're in New Jersey, and this is God ordained. Sister Carmen introduced you to the broadcast. It's God ordained. Even my wife and I, we always often share the testimony of meeting in that bar, but God ordained that to happen, that we would meet each other. And I am so convinced that that's in the book of Ephesians, that he has already ordained people that would influence our lives. So thank you for calling in today and allowing God to use you in your testimony that is going to encourage somebody else that God already has the right people at the right time to be a blessing to us.
It does. And I just want to, you know, I just want to ask him to bless everyone out there that's, you know, down and out, and just to touch their heart a little bit, and, you know, so they could say, yes, you know, I know things are going to be okay, because things will always be okay for as long as you have God in your life.
Amen.
Amen. That's so powerful. And I pray that you all who are listening heard what Sister Maria just said. Everything's going to be okay. You know, you might be going through a hard time right now, but be encouraged on today. God has already divinely orchestrated your success and your victory. So it's hard. You heard his testimony. We did some laughing, and we thank God that we can laugh now instead of crying, because we've had many years of crying while God was working out everything in our marriage and while he was working out everything that he had to work out about our personalities. And even lately, I found myself crying, you know, and just asking God how long or how much more I would have to endure. But he always allows me to know that he'll never put any more on me than I can handle. And I want to say that to somebody out there today, as Sister Maria has reminded us, that God will never put any more on you than you can handle. You might be in a tough place right now, but I want to encourage you that you're going to be okay. It's going to be okay, but you need Jesus. You need Jesus to help you through this tough time. So even now, if my sister is on with me and on with us, we want to encourage you to receive Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus is the difference maker, and he made a difference in my life. He made a difference in Sister Maria's life. He made a difference in Pastor Anthony's life, Brother Mel, Sister Tina. Everybody who's here with us today, we're here for one reason only, and that reason is Jesus. So to receive Jesus, all you have to do is say, God, I believe this woman of God, and I want to receive Jesus into my life. And if that's you, just pray this prayer. God, Father God, I ask you to come into my life. I know and believe that with you, things can be better. I repent of my sins, and I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, believing that he came and lived and died so that I could not perish but have eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you prayed that prayer, you just received Christ into your heart, and guess what? Things are getting ready to get better for you. And if you've already been saved, guess what? If you've been saved for a while, hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give in to discouragement. Things are going to get better. And we pray that over your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we got less than 2 minutes. It does cut us off sharply at 3 o'clock. Again, thank you, Sister Maria, for calling.
Thank you, Maria.
Everyone have a blessed weekend.
We have one more call.
We
might be in the street.
Hallelujah.
We might be in the street.
Hallelujah to God.
Sister Maria, God bless you.
Bless you too.
Amen. Amen. We're going to squeeze in this call. Area code 908.
Yes, Pastor Rebecca, this is Brother Mill. I just wanted to say, if I haven't forgot, just keep Daniela in prayer, because lately, I don't know, for some reason, must be something going around. She's sick. She's been coughing chronically, you know, every time she coughs lately, even though I've been getting some medicine for her, she's been, like, hurt every time she coughs.
Okay, great. We will keep
that's
her.
That's all. And that I'm in agreement with all the callers, including myself. We have to stand for something. If not, we'll stand for anything. So if we're Christian and we see our brother or sister falling or in trouble, or they're doing something that's not of Christian like, we gotta, you know, speak on it in a way that they will try to get better.
Amen. Amen. So God bless you. We agree. We touch and agree with that, and we will be getting cut off in a minute. But God bless you, and we will keep your wife in prayer as well as you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Amen. Well, that's it. We're out of time, not out of talk. Pastor Anthony's going to close us out, and we're going to try to play a song. But if we get cut off, know that we love you, and God does too.
Have a blessed weekend, everyone.
Yes, tomorrow.
Hallelujah. Yes, we have service 11 a.m. tomorrow at New Creation Church, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. It's going to be a powerful time in the Lord. Hallelujah. We are looking. Remember that the time is being altered in this New Jersey area. The clocks go back.
Forward.
The clocks go forward. I'm sorry. No, the clocks go forward. So to God be the glory. Love all of you. Have a blessed weekend.
Clap your hands.
Have a blessed weekend.